Now, gracious Heavenly Father, lead us as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy precious word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save the soul, our Father, that is nearest eternity without God today. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're studying the grace of God. This is the third in a series of sermons on the grace of God. The first day I declared that God's grace is extended to all. The disciples ask Jesus who can be saved, and the answer is in Luke 19:10. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now listen, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So said the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you are lost, if you are lost, if you will confess that you're lost, you are a candidate for grace. God will save you by his grace if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then yesterday, I declared there are those and many who say, if I could understand, if I could only understand. You can't. You can't. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned, and you cannot know them. But I tell you what you can know. You can know, according to the word of God, that God gave Jesus, and Jesus came, and he laid his life down. According to the word of God, he died on the cross. And Jesus is God's gift to man. Jesus is God's love gift, and he was full of grace. And we're saved by grace. He was full of truth. Ye shall know truth, and truth shall make you free. Now, the grace of God is the unlimited love of God expressing itself in measureless, undeserved, unearned favor. That is, grace is God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor to hell-deserving sinners. So the grace of God is the unlimited love of God expressing itself in Jesus. All the infinite resources of the saving power of Almighty God are now offered to all men who will believe on Jesus and trust him and receive him by faith. The only way that the things of God can be understood is spelled out in the language of Hebrews 1:3. By faith we understand. Now, without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. By faith we understand. By faith we accept the grace of God. The just shall live by faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, I tell you what I'm going to try to do today, of course, using the textbook of grace, the Word of God. I'm going to attempt by the grace of God, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, using the Word of God, to show you that grace alone saves us, and grace is limitless. There is no limit. It cannot be measured. Listen, it doesn't take a lot of grace. Let me use this term. It doesn't take a yard of grace to save a drunkard and a foot of grace to save a little boy that has just turned 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. It doesn't take a ton of grace to save an alcoholic and a pound of grace to save a pure, little, innocent child. Grace is grace, and it doesn't come in feet, yards, or it doesn't come in pounds or tons or gallons or bushels. Grace, beloved, now please listen to me very carefully. Grace is the gift of God to hell-deserving sinners, and the gift of God was His own Son. Now listen to this. We read in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. Now notice that, M-A-D-E, made flesh. God made the Word flesh. Now keep that in mind because I'm coming back to it. And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now that's Jesus, virgin born. You say, I don't understand that. You're not called upon to understand it. God never asked you to understand it. God asked you to accept it. That's what I tried to say yesterday for 20 minutes. I tried to say and show you from the Word of God. God didn't ask you to understand the virgin birth. God doesn't ask you to understand the Godhead. You say, I can't understand three persons, one God, three persons. I can't understand that, Brother Green. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and yet you say one God, and yet you talk about three persons. You say, Brother Green, I can't understand that. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. Well now, how do I understand by faith? Well, I know that God Almighty is. And I know that God Almighty did something in my heart 34 years ago. I know that. Because I have experienced 34 years, almost 34 years, of Christian living, and it hasn't all been a bed of roses, but it has been wonderful and glorious, and I've had peace in a world of unrest and hatred and murder and sin and ungodliness. I know that God Almighty worked a miracle in my soul the night I said, oh God, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. I don't even know how to ask You to save me. But I said, God, You know my heart. And God did, and God saved me. Now I know that. I know that. By faith I know that God Almighty is. By faith I believe in one God manifest in three persons. By faith I understand all that I understand about divine things. You can't put spiritual things in a test tube or on a drawing board or under a microscope. You can't put spiritual things on the level of things as we know things, that is, carnal things and earthly things, because God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign, almighty in the beginning. But the Word was made flesh. Now that's Jesus. God made the Word flesh. God wrapped up the Word in flesh, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Now Jesus was full of grace. Jesus was full of truth. The law came by Moses, we read on down, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus, the only begotten in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now, God wrapped up the Word in flesh. And we make declarations by using words. I declare in words. I make this declaration. I love Jesus. All right, I said three words. I love Jesus. I declare I love Jesus. All right. Now, Jesus came down from the bosom of the Father, wrapped up in flesh, the Word in flesh, and He came to declare God. And the first, one of the very first things, or one of the very first declarations that Jesus made was to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why am I doing all this? I'm laying the foundation to try to clear up a matter today that needs to be cleared up in the minds of many dear people who are really saved, but they don't fully understand the difference between the grace of God that saves us and the power of God that keeps us, the blood of Jesus that redeems us, and our living Jesus at the right hand of the Father who keeps or makes intercession or watches over us day by day. In other words, what I'm trying to say, and maybe I'm not saying it so that you can fully understand, there is a tremendous need for Christians, I mean really born again Christians, to understand the difference in what is finished, and Jesus said in John 19:30, it is finished. They need to understand the difference in what he finished, what he completed, and what he is now doing. Now, we read in the Bible the grace of God that brings salvation. Now, that is in Titus 2:11. The grace of God that brings salvation. So, the grace of God, not works or good living or righteousness or giving or doing or abstaining, these things do not bring salvation. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, that's in Titus. I gave you the reference, 2:11, if you'd like to read it. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, beloved, the grace of God appeared on Calvary's rugged tree. Of course, the grace of God appeared in the babe in the manger, and Jesus lived before men for 33 years and a half approximately, and he did no sin. He was spotless in every respect, and his enemies were compelled to admit that I find no fault in him, this man hath done nothing amiss, and so on. Now, the grace of God hath appeared, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. All right, so, when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant in the statement that he made, it is finished, it is accomplished. He had done everything, he had said everything, he was everything that God required, God's law, God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's purity. Jesus had accomplished everything that God demanded or that the righteousness of God required, that God be just and yet justify a man that should burn in hell. And that's exactly what grace does. Now hear me well. Listen to me very carefully. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is not favor merited. Now you know, I don't believe in petting and pampering, but I believe when a child is a model child, I believe you should reward that child. I really do. I think we should encourage our employees. When we have an employee that is not a clock watcher, and they work overtime a few minutes, and they don't mind it, and they never say, I put in 5 minutes extra, and I put in 10 minutes extra. I mean by that, when we have an employee that is above average, in some way, I think we should show them favor. I mean, I don't mean pet. I don't mean that. But, beloved, if we earn the favor extended to us, then it is not grace. Grace is unearned, unmerited. For instance, when God saved me, I didn't love God. I didn't respect God. I took his name in vain. I had no time for God. I never opened the Bible. And I was a wretched sinner. Well now, if God had dealt with me as I had treated God, then God would have killed me and I'd be in hell today begging for a drop of water. But God dealt with me in grace, in mercy, unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. Now, that happened almost in round figures, of course, 34 years ago, God extended his saving grace to me, and God saved me. Now, listen to this. Divine and eternal transformation was wrought in my heart by the power of God when God exercised saving grace in my soul. Beloved, I want you to understand and I want you to see and realize and accept a solemn fact today. When God saves you and when God saves anyone, the mightiest miracle since the virgin birth is wrought. Now, I mean that. The greatest miracle, the mightiest miracle upon the face of this earth today is the transformation that takes place in a heart when a person believes unto salvation. Divine and eternal transformation are wrought by the power of God when God exercises saving grace in one's heart. Now, listen to me very carefully. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, that's a very, very familiar verse, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But this verse is not nearly so familiar as the two I have just read, Ephesians 2:8-9. Verse 10 declares, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now, we are created in Christ to work good works, but we are not saved by good works, and good works do not add one thing to salvation. Now, hear me well. Please underline this as I say it. If you are born again right now as I talk, you cry out, "Oh God, save me this moment, save me right now." If you cry out right now and God saves you this very second, and you begin to work and you work and you give your money and you sell your property and you go to the mission field and you live a very humble life and you witness every day untiringly until you die. Everything you do, everything you give, everything you say will not add one iota to your redemption, to your salvation. It will add to your reward as a Christian, a reward as a child of God, your reward as a believer, but you cannot add one thing to the saving grace of God by what you do, what you give, or what you live. Beloved, 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 if you can add to God's grace, then Jesus was mistaken when he said, "It is finished." Now, he didn't mean that all that he would ever do was finished, and he didn't die on the cross and go back to heaven and sit down and fold his arms and retire. You say, "Brother Green, I have reached the age of retirement, and I have enough money to live on, and I'm retiring, and I don't intend to work another day." Well, that's all right. If you can do that, God bless you. That's all right. But listen, Jesus came to work the work that the Father gave him, and he worked that work, and he finished that work, John 17:1 and following. And when he finished that work, he cried out, "It is finished, it is accomplished," and he gave up the ghost, and he went back to the Father, and today he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for believers. Now listen, don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, and if you will listen carefully, by the way, I cannot go into that today. I looked at my clock, and I cannot go into it, because if I do, I'll leave it hanging, and I just can't do that. Now tomorrow, I'll make the statement that I was about to make, but I cannot because I don't have time to finish it. Now here's what I want you to see. When one is saved by grace, it is a divine miracle. You are created in Christ. You are created in Christ. And I'd like to say in the last seconds that I have for the message, it cost God more, it took more of God's wisdom, God's power, God's ability to provide grace than it did to create this universe. Now don't forget that. And be with me tomorrow, and I'm going to make some statements that may stagger you, but I'll back them up with Bible. Father, honor thy word, the blood of Jesus, save somebody by thy grace. In Christ's name, amen.